Ooh, that's a new lineup.
I love the look. T'Challa!
Oh, my God.
Love you, bro. What if the heroes you knew? Captain Carter.
Whoa. Guns are larger than life. Woof.
Killmonger. That's weird. And
ask yourself the question. What if?
What if?
What if? What if? Welcome back to New Rock Stars. Marvel Studios animated series What If is 1 week away with 9 episodes, each presenting a hypothetical scenario based on the long-running Marvel Comics series, here presented by The Watcher, voiced by Jeffrey Wright, who is the creepo in the sky who knows what video you just clicked away from. What the if? What the if?
I love What the If so much. It's
We're
so
going
great.
With What the If. I feel good about What the If. That's going to be fun to
really
say.
For good.
The
next. How do you guys feel about it? Let us know.
You're going to let us know anyway. If you don't like it, we don't care. We're going to stick with What the If. It's perfect. This is Inside Marvel. It's our weekly Marvel discussion that for the next 2 months will be our official What If after show. I'm Eric Voss. I'm here with MT.
What if I got to talk about What If with my favorite guy, Eric Voss? What's going on, Eric?
I'm so excited for this series. Everything we've seen from it so far just looks crazy. I know not everyone's going to immediately jump on board with an animated version, but this is still Marvel Studios, and it 100%. Still seems to be pretty canon, at least to the people making this show, and it remains to be seen how much will be brought into live action. But I think it's still going to be very much essential must-see TV, or must-see streaming. Every week. That's how we're looking at it.
Oh yeah, for sure. If you like the MCU, do not skip What If, because this is like, they got the same actors from the MCU reprising their roles, and like, these are basically new MCU stories told in a different medium. So I'm excited. Yeah. It's going to be good.
And we're going to go over how canon exactly all of this will be. We're going to give you a series preview and break down everything you need to know going into What If. And I mentioned 9 episodes at the start of this episode, and that's because the series order of 10 episodes was actually recently revised to 9. The 10th episode was pushed to a season 2. That's right. We're getting a second season of this, which is great. And executive producer Brad Winterbaum confirmed what the first 3 episodes will be. We knew the pilot was going to be What If Peggy Carter Took the Super Soldier Serum Instead of Steve Rogers. Second episode is going to be What If T'Challa Became Star-Lord Instead of Peter Quill. And in this episode, other Guardians cameos are expected, including Yondu, The Collector, Ego, Howard the Duck, and more. And it was actually reported that the late Chadwick Boseman voices T'Challa not just this episode, but 4 episodes this season.
We're going to get 4 extra episodes of Chadwick Boseman. I don't think I'm emotionally ready, dog. I don't know.
It's going to be great. And then episode 3 is an episode that is going to show Loki's arrival to Earth, but Loki has come to Earth before, so why is this a big deal? Well, this appears to be set during Fury's big week, during the events of Iron Man 2, Thor, and Hulk, based on trailer footage that shows some of these specific events, including Tony Stark and the donut, and the moment of Hulk where Hawkeye aims an arrow at him. But based on other trailer shots I pointed out in our first trailer breakdown, some of those arrows do fly. So are we going to see a What If Hawkeye Killed Thor episode? And that could be why Loki appears early.
That would be kind of wild if Hawkeye killed Thor.
Now, MT, what are some other episodes that we've been able to surmise from trailer footage will be in this season?
Well, we also got What If Zombies Overran the MCU? Because we see, Bucky fighting that Cap zombie. And we also see from the original trailer, Janet Van Dyne in the Quantum Realm, a zombified Janet Van Dyne. So it could be possible that she could have brought that from the Quantum Realm, but who knows? And we also see Spider-Man. As well.
And that Spider-Man could be in the Zombies episode. It could be in a different episode that we'll get to. We also saw a trailer shot of What If Killmonger Saved Tony Stark in Afghanistan. Right. That's going to be fascinating to see.
Then we also got What If Odin Didn't Adopt Loki and Loki Became Party Thor. This is all according to Tom Hiddleston in an interview. So that's going to be really interesting. As Loki as
I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that quote means, but I'm excited to see it.
Oh, God. Now,
trailer footage has also shown us a couple different Avengers lineups. We saw one in the teaser at the beginning of our reaction here that had Black Panther with the other Avengers. But we also saw one in trailers where it's Gamora carrying Thanos' sword and then Black Panther and Star-Lord and Thor. That could be the Party Thor episode. We're not exactly sure yet.
Then we also see Natasha Romanoff in a post-apocalyptic setting Which could be the zombie episode, but it could be another, like, maybe an Age of Ultron-y type episode.
Right.
We don't really know yet. Yeah. But she also has Red Guardian Shield, which is very interesting to me.
Mm. That's going to be real fun. There's going to be some Doctor Strange-centric episode.
Right.
Where we know there's going to be, like, a Doctor Strange Supreme. And we know Spider-Man's going to be in a Doctor Strange Cloak of Levitation. So are we going to see alternate people playing the Sorcerer Supreme in different realities? And we're going to have one episode of What If that bridges a lot of different realities within it.
I would love to see Professor Hulk as a Sorcerer Supreme. Please give it to me. Like a maestro. Like, sure. Oh my god, so good. But we also have an episode in which Scott Lang's head is in like a jar, like a glass jar, Futurama style. So yeah. I'm really interested to see how that even happened. Because good god, what did you do, Scott? What was so different?
Yeah, maybe that's the zombie one, right? Like he had to preserve, like there's some kind of weird reanimation virus, but they kept him from turning into a zombie. I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh my, no, like, no, that probably is actually what happened because his body got infected, so they just took his head off. That's 100% plausible. I like that.
Right. And then we have, we've seen some shots of Scarlet Witch, like fully powered up as Scarlet Witch, where Okoye throws a spear at her, and then Vision pulling out the Mind Stone from his own head. These could be the same episode, they could be different episodes. But the question is, which of these episodes could turn out to be actual canon in the live-action MCU? Any of them? All of them? Well, before we continue with that, if you are still hoping to grab Black Widow's latest obsession, the Red Deep shirt, this week is your last chance to get it before it goes in the vault and is gone forever, like Natasha herself from the MCU.
It's being taken to the Red Room by force. So you guys, hurry up.
Yep. But big news this weekend, alongside the big theatrical release of James Gunn's The Suicide Squad, we are launching our new latest obsession, number 6, Bad Company. Bad Company. I don't know if I'm allowed to sing that a little bit.
Demonetized.
I'm so excited for this shirt, though. Just like the crazy, dangerous ensemble, the characters from this summer's biggest adventure, these shirts are here for a good time, but not for a long time. So check out our new latest obsession on Friday, August 6th. That's the same day the Suicide Squad hits the theaters, and you can check out that and all of our great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com.
Okay, so our first question of the day, Eric, is what if any of the What If episodes have actual canonical implications on upcoming MCU's titles like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness?
Well, Marvel Studios certainly wants us to think that's going to be the case.
Yes.
For sure. Absolutely watch the show. Everything is going to be essential and important and will be on the test at the end of the phase.
It's all required reading.
Yeah, I think so. I like to think so.
Yes.
And it's reading for us because we put on the subtitles and just read the subtitles. And then I do a second watch where I look at all the imagery and then merge my two brains. I put the brain and the broad after 18 months in the gamma lab.
Hey, bro, I'm an anime nerd, so subtitles is what I do. So, every day.
So just to look at what the people working on the show have said, head writer A.C. Bradley declared that the events of What If are canon. It's part of the MCU multiverse. The multiverse is here. It's real, and it's absolutely fantastic, people.
Get used to
Seinfeld.
It.
It's there. Yes, it's real. And it's fantastic. Executive producer Brad Winterbaum said, quote, "It's no coincidence that the show picks up right after Loki. The multiverse has erupted in every possible direction. And that What If gives Marvel, quote, a chance to explore that. I think that without going into great detail, I can tell you that What If, as a project, as a story that exists in the MCU, is as important as any other and is woven into that tapestry." And Tom Hiddleston, who, as we said, voices in at least one episode, confirmed, quote, "It sets up a whole bunch of stuff in the MCU, which I know nothing about."
He's lying. He knows everything.
Yeah, he knows. He knows.
He knows.
Now, MT, on one hand, it's easy to follow the Loki finale and say, oh, the MCU is a multiverse of possibilities now. Anything and everything on this show is going to be canon, hypothetically. And technically, they'd be right. That is true. But I think when it comes to our purposes, canonicity only really matters if any of these animated elements return in live action in a future MCU movie or TV series other than What If. If it just stays animated forever, it's going to have a different weight, I think, in most viewers' minds. It'll always be important to us, sure. But what we're really excited is to see these characters show up in a, like, with the actors playing them in live action. Now, of the episodes we have seen footage of, here are some episodes I think we should watch closely in terms of the dialogue, the visuals, the plot mechanics, the rules of the world that are being established in that alternate reality for some possible clues about an upcoming title and how it might play out. And I think the first one we got to talk about is the Doctor Strange episode.
Oh, yeah, we got it.
And I don't know. I kind of suspect, based on looking at trailer footage, that the scenario might be, what if Christine Palmer died in the car crash and that Strange was given a chance to rescue her from the afterlife? Just because it seems like that simple idea of alternate Sorcerer Supreme would tell us a lot about Marvel's plans or what they don't plan on doing for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness and Spider-Man No Way Home. What do you think, MT?
I think that that's a really on-the-money assessment because, like, we do see Christine Palmer or a woman in some type of dark realm with Doctor Strange as he's shooting out this dark energy or dark fire energy out of his hands.
Uh-huh.
So having, and it would make sense given the, you know, the origin story of Doctor Strange where he takes over the role as Sorcerer Supreme from the Ancient One who uses dark, like, magic to sustain her. But what makes our Doctor Strange super special is that, like, he doesn't fall into that temptation. He's just like, all right, we're going to defeat Dormammu. And, like, I don't need to live forever like the Ancient One did. But, like, this Doctor Strange could have potentially got messed up in some dark magic. He was like, hey, this is some really great stuff. If she can do it, why not? I can do it. I'm Doctor Strange. I'm super smart. I can handle it. Yeah. And we're probably going to figure out that he can't handle it. And we're going to see some really dark Doctor Strange stuff.
Yeah. And I think the a good rule of thumb is any one episode of What If that brings in multiple variants of the same character in a universe together is something that will give us a clue to how it could appear in live action. Because if they're willing to bridge universes within the animated side of the world, it'll mean that they're willing to bridge universes in live action, the way that we saw with Loki. And if that happens in the Doctor Strange episode, I will not be surprised if we see some alternate Sorcerer Supreme in Multiverse of Madness.
God, I hope so.
If we see alternate Peter Parkers, specifically with a Sorcerer Supreme Peter Parker. Now, we don't know if that's the case. He might just be wearing the Cloak of Levitation in that shot. But if it is an alternate Peter, that might be an indicator of the way No Way Home might go. It shows that, like, it's telling fans to get used to the idea of seeing variants of Peter Parker.
Right. I wonder, because, like, we hear that this Peter Parker is not being voiced by Tom Holland. So I wonder if, you know, this is a completely different Peter Parker, but this is a Peter Parker that might end up dying. Because, like, it's a different version, so, like, maybe we might see this Peter Parker die in an episode of What If, because there's no stakes. Like, we don't know this man. So it's just, maybe it's just, like, setting up those multiversal stakes. Like, hey, anyone can die. Who knows?
How much would you lose your mind, MT, if the person who was voicing Spider-Man was Andrew Garfield?
Bro, I would shit myself. I would literally just be, I would freak out. I'd be like, yo, they're doing it. Like, we got, like, some type of confirmation.
Spider-Verse finally confirmed.
Yo, like, I would just be, like, elated, bro. Like, you don't even tease. I wish you didn't bring that up because now I would be upset.
I got your
hopes
up.
I'm going to be upset.
Another episode I think we should talk about is this Scarlet Witch and Vision episode. This is footage that we've seen the least of in the trailer footage that exists so far. I wonder if this might be the episode that was pushed. Do you think it's possible that the pushed episode did show up in trailer footage? Would they have included any of that footage? Because according to the showrunner, it made it sound like they just ran out of time and that they wanted to reconfigure it. But that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because this animated stuff could have been worked on from home. It can still be worked on from home. And they have 2 months until the season finale. So, like, why would they now punt on it? I wonder if there's, like, plot reasons why. Like, stuff is being reworked around Scarlet Witch's future in the MCU. And that's why they had to rework it.
I really hope that it's just like, we had one idea for a Scarlet Witch and Vision episode, but, like, we're just going to scrap that and just do, like, a what if with, like, WandaVision. Like, a different take on WandaVision. Because everyone wants another season of WandaVision. So I feel like the best way that they could do that is just, like, here's an episode of what if that has a different take on WandaVision. Like, what if the WandaVision kept going forever? Like, what if the bubble expanded? What if the world became WandaVision? I think that'd be really fun. So I hope that it's just like a, you know what, we have a different vision for what we're doing.
Another episode to keep our eye on is that if it is the zombie episode, the shot of Janet Van Dyne in the Quantum Realm, the fact that we're going back to the Quantum Realm is very interesting. We need to keep our eyes peeled when we go to the Quantum Realm because are they going to put that city in the background again? Are we going to get some Kang, Chronopolis hints again? I feel like it'd be a good opportunity just to throw it in there to remind us that you know, there's something there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, there's another thing that people don't really think about is that, like, we know that there's a city in the background. But, like, a lot of the Marvel people that consume MCU content have no idea that the city is there. So right. I think it'd be a really great opportunity before Quantumania to point people in that direction. Like, hey, there's a city here. Like, here's, we're going to tease you what's going on, and we're going to go into it in Quantumania.
Well, do you think it could be something to where Kang in that reality decided to infect that reality with the zombie outbreak and gave Janet Van Dyne this virus so that when she gets sucked back out of the quantum realm, it causes this mass zombie outbreak to happen. And that's how Kang just decided to rid himself of that reality, you know?
Bro, that would be a genius plan. Like, get rid of everybody.
A little messy.
Yeah, it's very messy.
Fun.
Hey, there's different Kang variants. They work in different ways. Whatever floats your Kang boat, you know what I'm saying?
That's right. Now, we should acknowledge there was apparently one episode of this, that the Guardians of the Galaxy episode, that they had to scrap because it was too similar to what James Gunn has planned in his script for Guardians Volume 3, which is fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Like, it makes you wonder what specific bonkers shit is James Gunn planning that was supposed to be a what-if episode.
Right?
It's so insane it was going to be what-if. Like, that makes me even more excited for Volume 3.
Right? I saw that this morning. I was like, what could it be? Like, is it what if, like, Rocket never met Groot? Like, it could be anything. Like, it would be a lot of cool scenarios there.
Another episode to keep our eye on is the pilot, of course, Captain Peggy Carter. And in trailer footage, she's fighting some tentacled monster from another dimension. MT and I were talking before the episode, thinking it's the many-angled ones, perhaps. Yeah. But what's on the other side of that portal? What does it lead to? And an update we want to give you, Winterbaum actually confirmed that Captain Carter will be a focal character in this series. It's going to return in season 2. He said, quote, "We realized as we started developing the second season that Captain Carter was going to be the character we would revisit in every season and continue that adventure. Obviously, we're telling a story on a giant multiversal canvas, so you never really know who's going to pop up where and when. It's very much an anthology, but there's always an opportunity for fun connections to be made."
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg, and who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Wow.
Okay. So we're putting Captain Carter on, like, the biggest, like, MCU IRL, like, transition watch. Like, we're probably going to see her, this what-if character, transition into the live-action MCU the most out of anyone because of this emphasis on her importance within the multiple seasons of What If.
And I'm thinking, like, Captain Britain Corps, right? Like,
Exactly.
If she's going to be someone who already goes through dimensions as she's fighting this thing, and that's the way they tell her version of the story, and it's a multiversal story, that she's going to show up in connections across episodes, like, that's your opportunity to introduce the core.
Exactly. That's probably what they're doing. Like, that's the Captain Britain core right there. Like,
But we want to remind you of what Watchers are. So we're being introduced to Uatu the Watcher. And it's a very big deal. Watchers are cosmic entities in Marvel Comics. They observe and record events of the multiverse, but they don't interfere. Uatu was the Watcher assigned to our universe. And once in the past, he warned the Fantastic Four of Galactus's arrival, but vowed never to do this again. Watchers appeared actually already in the MCU back in Guardians Volume 2. They were stuck listening to Stan Lee's stories. Those are Watchers. James Gunn actually included them as a nod to the popular fan theory that Stan Lee was going to be the MCU's Uatu the Watcher. But Stan Lee is far more powerful than that. You could argue Stan Lee is the one above all, right? Like, it's that true. Would be the Jack Kirby analog there. Wasn't believed that Jack Kirby was the one above all in a Fantastic Four comic? Maybe I'm...
Yes, like, that was it, one it's been... The they do that, all. Like, multiple times throughout, like, the decades of, like, making them these all-powerful people. I love that they do that. So, yeah, Stan Lee's the most powerful being.
I think, at the very least, Jeffrey Wright showing up as a Watcher in the live-action MCU might be the likeliest thing from this show to show up. Because he's already just kind of this disembodied voice. He's... The way he's designed on the show is actually closer to Eternity, I would say. Like, he's kind of an outline, a silhouette in the stars. That's what Eternity looks like. And he looks amazing. Like, he looks really cool. And he's also red, I believe. He's, like, more red-ish than Watchers, which tend to be... Well, in the MCU, they were, like, flesh-colored, but often they'll be blue or something like that. So I think it's probably most likely that we see, or at least hear, the voice of Jeffrey Wright show up in some future cosmic MCU story, maybe like Multiverse of Madness. Like, imagine Stephen Strange communing with Uatu the Watcher as like Uatu explains to him the exact nature of this crisis.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, we're definitely going to see a Jeffrey Wright Uatu in the MCU. At least I feel like it's not confirmed or anything, but like, God, like, it would just be weird to just to get Jeffrey Wright for an animated show. Like, that just seems like a weird... They could just add anybody voice him if it was just going to be animated. But I think that, like I said before, because the Watchers are CGI characters, they could... Jeffrey Wright could just be put in whenever. So, like, we could definitely see Jeffrey Wright in Multiverse of Madness, but we could also see him in the Fantastic Four, because, like you said, the first time that we are introduced to the Watcher is in a Fantastic Four comic. And if anyone knows where the Fantastic Four even went to, or no one even knows the Fantastic Four in the MCU, it's Uatu. And he's probably going to be the one that tells us what happened to the Fantastic Four.
We have a couple more questions we want to get to about What If. But if you're at all interested in Marvel content, of course you know who Stan Lee is and the huge impact he had on Marvel Comics, the entertainment industry as a whole. What fewer fans know is that in the early 2000s, Stan Lee was in financial trouble and on the verge of suing Marvel. The all-new season of the Business Movers podcast explores how Stan Lee changed the comic book industry and saved his own career in the process. On each season of Business Movers, you'll hear how titans of industry rose from the bottom rung of the corporate ladder and what obstacles they overcame on their climb to the top. I'm excited for this podcast and for more people to know about the part of Stan Lee's life between when he was dreaming up the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man and when he was popping up in cameos in MCU movies. On Business Movers, you'll find out exactly how a kid from the Bronx born at the height of the Great Depression went on to become a comic book industry superhero. Listen to the latest episode of Business Movers, Stan Lee, on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Wondery, feel the story. Also, if you dread looking at your credit card statement every month, Upstart can help lift that weight off your shoulders. Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Unlike other lenders, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, like your income, your employment history. This means they can offer smarter rates with trusted partners. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/Marvel. That's upstart.com/Marvel. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/Marvel. MT, we were just talking about this before the break. What if Marvel uses this series to soft introduce the Fantastic Four or the X-Men?
Yeah, that would be bonkers. I think that would be a really bold move to use, like, a really experimental show like this, because they haven't made an animated show before, to introduce the Fantastic Four or the X-Men. That would be wild, but I think that they wouldn't. But at the very least, I think that they could use What If to reintroduce past Fox universes, like the X-Men universe or the Fantastic Four universe, because they could easily tell What If stories in those universes as well. And they could get the past actors like Jessica Alba, Ian Griffith, I can't say his name, but all their Reed Richards.
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, that's easier. All of them. And like the Fox X-Men, and like just to make new stories, and Hugh Jackman. Because we did see on Instagram that Hugh Jackman, he was teasing working with Kevin Feige to some degree. So we were sort of suspecting.
We all saw that. All of us are looking at Hugh Jackman's.
Everyone's following
every
Hugh
day
Jackman.
For educational purposes, academic purely. Reasons, purely.
Purely academic. It's world politics. It's world politics. It's Hugh
yes.
Jackman.
Yeah, I think, I think you're right. It would be pretty bold to use this animated series to introduce X-Men. But in another way of looking at it, it's kind of an easier way for Feige to softball bring in some elements that he's not necessarily ready to bring into the live-action MCU just to kind of test the waters, you know? Mm. Like, for example, we know a Marvel Zombies episode is happening, and, like, That to me, I thought we'd be years away if they ever did a Marvel Zombies movie or a Marvel Zombies anything, you know, that has the Marvel Studios title card in front of it. So the fact that they're willing to go there for What If makes me think they might be willing to go to some other places and bring in the Fantastic Four. And if you just say this is an alternate Fantastic Four or alternate lower level mutants or things like that, the way they brought in apparently Ursa Major into Black Widow.
Right.
Which is,
I wish they did. That was more obvious. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, that guy is he was Ursa Major. Don't even worry about it.
Right. Yeah. It tells me that they're just a little less precious about the exact timing of this introduction. That we're going to start seeing it in little pieces here and there. And I think that might be the smarter way to go. Then we're less dependent on whatever this press release to the Hollywood Reporter will be of so-and-so has been cast as Wolverine, so-and-so has been cast as Storm or Cyclops or Professor X or Magneto, because then everyone's going to jump on it and be like, I hate that casting. But if you just start to like soft introduce the idea of like, hey, it's just mutants, baby. We just got a little mutant here. A little X gene popping up in this little baby over here.
Don't even worry about
it,
man.
And everybody can be
around.
A mutant. It's okay. Then we're just like, give us mutants.
Right.
Thank you. We don't care who is who.
I feel like What If has sort of historically been a testing grounds, even in the comics.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we all know that Jane Foster became Thor somewhat relatively recently, like around like the 2016-ish era.
Yeah,
In the Jason Aaron run. But in a What If comic, Jane Foster was initially introduced like decades before in What If number 10 as a Thor. So like it's those concepts that like, you know, Marvel plays around with that they could maybe go back into it and mess around in the future in a more substantial way. So
yeah, the same
if,
way Smart Hulk was a What If concept.
Right.
Like the Endgame writer said that they looked at old What If issues to figure out what they wanted to do with the characters 5 years later in Endgame.
Exactly. I had no idea. That's amazing. Like, I love What If as a concept because people can just play around without having to affect the main MCU. Like, it's so frustrating at times when, like, a universe gets so big that, like, oh man, we can't really do anything crazy to it. Like, we know that the Marvel Earth is not going to explode in the Marvel comics. Like, it's never going to fully die because, like, it's the Marvel Earth. This is where our stories go. But in another universe, what if the Earth exploded? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, you can do so many different things and then play around with it, see how people respond to it, and then maybe adapt a more substantial story into the mainline Marvel comics or the MCU. So I love What If as a concept testing show.
Now, another what if we should talk about. What if the zombie outbreak was actually a curse from the Darkhold? We talked about another possible zombie source, but like we might learn in the show about other dark supernatural elements that Wanda could unleash from that book this way.
I do like that. It's very possible because the Darkhold just got introduced, and it's probably going to be a major focal point in Multiverse of Madness. And it's a book of the damned. And I can't think of anything more damn than zombies. I don't know if you can.
I just, anytime I see things that are more associated with supernatural horror fiction, like vampires, zombies, witchcraft, werewolves, I always think Darkhold, you know? Even though I know zombies is more of a science fiction concept.
Right.
It's a biological based sort of thing, at least in the way zombie movies have existed in the modern era. Originally, zombie movies were based on the idea of, like, mind control. You know, the original George Romero ones in the 60s and 70s, it was more about, like, conformity and like, mass media control of a society. And then with, like, 28 Days Later in the 90s, you start to see more like, oh, no, it was a fear of, like, biological illnesses like Ebola and other, you know, viruses, things like that. And now that's how zombie movies have that kind of sci-fi grounding to them.
But we see the MCU is likes to marry science and magic. So, like, it'd probably be a mix of, like, that quantum realm ship and probably Darkhold ship. It's probably going to be both. I don't know.
Yeah. A couple more questions. But first, our friends at Blue Chew have a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no doctor's office or pharmacy trips. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength. And Blue Chew is chewable, just like it says in the name, which is great news for folks that don't like swallowing pills. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code Inside Marvel at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Inside Marvel to receive your first month for free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this show. Also, big thanks to Keeps for sponsoring us. More than 50 million men in the U.S. suffer from male pattern baldness, and there are only two FDA-approved medications that prevent hair loss. Well, good news, Keeps offers both of them. Keeps is a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. I personally hate going to doctor's appointments of all kinds. Like, it's never at a convenient time, and then you have to park, you sit in the waiting room. It's obviously important. It's just not very fun. It's about as fun, I imagine, as losing your hair is. Well, Keeps offers convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home or go to the doctor's office or the pharmacy. Treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions to keep the cost low. Their proven results arrive on your doorstep in discreet packaging. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. So with hair loss, prevention is key. Treatments take 4 to 6 months to see results, so you gotta act fast. If you're ready to take action to prevent hair loss, go to KEEPS.com/Marvel to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/Marvel to get your first month for free. KEEPS.com/Marvel. All right, MT, I gotta ask you this. This is a selfish question for me. What if the Wanda and Vision episode is a WandaVision redo with Mephisto?
Oh, shit. I think that's exactly what's going down. No, I think I'd be
You don't have to. You don't have to yes and that, MT. If you think you could say so.
No. I think that it would be really fun for them to go into that because WandaVision heavily implied a Mephisto presence, even though they didn't go that direction. So, because I think that they know everyone was expecting a Mephisto, they could easily just be like, hey, what if it was Mephisto? Like, let's just see what would go on with that and sort of explain, like, the differences between someone like Agatha and someone like Mephisto. Because we think Agatha's ruthless. I don't know. Well, Mephisto's pretty ruthless. He's pretty freaking ruthless. So I think that WandaVision would probably be a lot darker and more messed up with a Mephisto. But what you think, man? What you think?
I would hope so. My thinking, if you're going to redo WandaVision, the true what-if version of that would be, like, what if Agatha was the one who was trying to persevere through grief, and then Wanda messed with her, you know? So it was Agatha was the
Scarlet Witch?
Yeah. Like, what if Agatha became the Scarlet Witch? Exactly right. Or if, like, what if, like, Vision was the focal character, if it was Vision Wanda, you know? And Vision, it's more of a computerized version of his hex. So he's creating, like, a holographic bubble and trying to reanimate his lost Wanda. It'd be like, what if Wanda died in Infinity War and Vision had a chance to try to bring her back?
I would love that. Like, he just builds, like, a virtual world with Wanda and the kid. Oh my god. That would be so fun. That'd, like, just flip it on its head. That would be so cool.
I mean, as much as God. I gotta say, as every month goes by, WandaVision gets better and better. Like, obviously, there was some like fan expectation management that they had some weird choices on when it comes to like Ralph Boner, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't need Doctor Strange or Mephisto to be in that show at all. And the more I look back on it, and I know MT, you just rewatched all of it. I love that series. It just gets better and better.
It's like we truly did not deserve that show. It had no right being as good as it was. And like again, with all this grief going on in the world with obviously this terrible pandemic, it came at the perfect time. And especially that line with grief being love persevering, like everyone needed to hear that. And it's just another example of how amazing art is to help soothe people. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as Loki ended, I thought Loki was better than WandaVision, hands down. Mm. Like, because Loki gave us everything we possibly could have wanted and dreamed of, you know? Exactly. And I still love it. To me, like, it's still like, I don't know, probably top 10 Marvel titles. But I wonder if, like, WandaVision has started to creep up on it in terms of, like, my rank. I don't know. My ranking is constantly shifting. I'll never do another MCU ranking again because I go back and look at that video. I'm like, since then, I'd move this around and move that around.
Right.
Every day of the week, I have a different opinion of how they rank up. But, like, over time, you know, rewatching Loki, there are certain frustrating things about how it completely changes the rules of the show every episode. And it does rob itself of its stakes at the beginning of every episode, the fact that it does that. The fact that it completely tears off the tablecloth and the flowers are not still standing. Like, it's just a completely different genre of show, which I kind of love, but whereas WandaVision literally was a different genre of show episode to episode with the new sitcom style, you did start to feel like they were closing off doors of possibility and then arrived at some answers with Agatha All Along. And that twist of Agatha All Along at the end of episode 7, as great as Kang was, I think I was more tickled by it being Agatha All Along with that song than just the elevator doors opening and it being Jonathan Majors. I loved both reveals. I just kind of loved Agatha All Along a bit more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you'll never get a reveal like Agatha All Along ever again. Like, you could only do that once. Like, no villain is going to have that baller of a reveal than Agatha. Like, come on.
Yeah. I'm so excited for this series, and I can't wait to talk about it with you, MT, and, of course, to talk about it with all of you. Thank you all so much for watching this with us. But that's it for this episode. MT and I will be back next Wednesday with our What If Episode 1 After Show. And don't forget to check out our many great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. Follow me at EA Voss. Follow MT at Mastertainment. Follow New Rockstar. Subscribe to Inside Marvel wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for watching. See you next week. Bye.
We love you guys. Bye-bye.